Crocodile Dundee is a bunch of toads in a trench coat with a hat.
Welcome to Super True Stories. We suffer through and report back on the worst and weirdest documentaries you can stream. I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt. And are you ready for some frogs?
I'm ready for some toad-on-toad action.
Well, you're going to get some.
So much toad sex.
Probably more sex than I've seen in all movies I've watched up to this point added together.
This is basically toad porn.
Yes. If you have young toads at home, do not watch this movie with them.
We watched Cane Toads, An Unnatural History, from 1987, and it was written and directed by Mark Lewis, who is the guy who also directed The Natural History of the Chicken.
Mark Lewis really makes interesting documentaries.
Yeah, it's not the same as his chicken work.
No, he's grown. He grew in the 14 years since he made this toad movie.
It definitely has the stamp. It belongs in his oeuvre.
Yes.
It's not nearly as good in some ways, but I would argue it's more disturbing.
It's basically a horror movie wrapped up with an ecological documentary bow on top.
Yeah, it's like a little bit ecological disaster, a little bit gross out horror comedy.
Little bit of social commentary on colonialism.
Yeah, a little bit Army of Darkness.
Yes. And a little bit those movies that you used to watch in Driver's Ed. Buckle in.
We open with a very tight close-up on a toad's eye.
And very dramatic music.
Yes. And then we transition to what I took as toad cam. Where you're looking up from the ground at a bunch of different people who are giving their opinions on these toads.
Yes. Varied opinions.
Yes. One of them says that the best way to get rid of them is with a big stick.
Rude.
One of them talks about hitting them with his car. And then we get an elderly woman who says that they're her friends.
Oh, Dave.
We'll talk more about Elvy.
I'm not sure who's scarier, the person who's squishing them with the car or the lady who thinks they're her best friends.
Yeah, I have opinions on that. And the credits happen over a girl holding a toad that is probably bigger than her head.
It's like the size of a small dog, like a chihuahua. And they have poison in their backs.
Mm-hmm.
So they have no natural predator, including little girls.
No. So that's disturbing as well.
Yes.
We start with some backstory. It's the 1930s. Sugar is one of the big exports in Australia, particularly in North Queensland, which is on the northern end of the continent, where farmers are having this problem because these grubs are eating their crops. And then we meet Bill Kerr, the director of the Bureau of Sugar Experiment Stations.
That is a very specific and unique job.
What kind of experiments are we talking about here? Like, I picture these Australians, it's in like the 30s. They're like, sugar, will it float? Should you brush your teeth with it? Do kangaroos like it?
It would make more sense if it was in England and they were brushing their teeth with it.
Yeah.
What jumped out at me about Bill is that he seems to have the same glasses on his face when the movie is made as he had on his face in a photo from the 1930s.
His fashion has not evolved.
It has not.
He talks about how they became desperate because, of course, the farmers wanted the people at the sugar experiment station to get on fixing it. So we learn that in 1932, there was a sugar conference in Puerto Rico.
The World Conference of Sugar Technologists, Dave.
They decide at this conference that one of the ways that you can battle this grub is with the cane toad. So there's this Aussie entomologist who goes to Hawaii and he brings a bunch of toads back to Australia. Once again, Toad Cam is back. The camera looks through these slits and crates as the countryside rolls by from a train.
You gotta give this to Mark. He really makes you feel what his subject is feeling.
Yes.
They're rudely handling these toads throughout this journey. It's like grabbing the toad by the leg and tossing the toad in a box. And then they say the toads don't get to eat for 2 weeks during their journey.
Mm-hmm.
It is no wonder that these toads are taking over Australia.
You think that the toads originally were like, yeah, I'm going to go eat some cane grubs. And then like after those 2 weeks, they just had this like building resentment. Nope, I'm going to destroy the country.
Yes. I signed up for first class. This is coach. I am not on board for this. I had this kid kicking the back of my seat the whole way here. I am not eating your grubs.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the best way to travel.
American Airlines.
They arrive in Gordonvale on June 22nd, 1935, and they have 102 toads. They have a special pond built for them where they can start hanging out and breeding. And Tip Byrne, he's a cane farmer, recalls his dad was very excited and said,
he said this, and I quote, "We've got these bloody grubs by the balls this time, and we'll go on to bigger and brighter things." But tragically, we didn't have the grubs by the balls. They had us by the balls.
The Australian said, "Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to control the cane grubs." And the toads were like, "Yeah, I'm a pass on that." No, thank you.
Well, before we get to why this didn't work, we launch into a section on toads boning down. The scientific term is called amplexus, which is when the male grabs the female. The female lays eggs and the male fertilizes it. And Dr. Glenn Ingram talks about how the toads do this call, which the good doctor imitates.
And the call, of course, attracts the female. And it goes something like this.
Yes, well, there's a toad in the room, so I don't know what he was going for there.
There's like a quick cutaway as the toad like winks at him.
Right. Hey now.
But more disturbing is as we get the footage of these toads, there's kind of this like late 80s Cinemax music that starts playing. You get like some saxophone and like...
I was 10 when this movie came out, and I imagine if my parents had heard this soundtrack, they would have busted into the room and been like, "What are you watching?"
Yeah, it's wrong, but then...
It gets wronger.
Yes, it gets wronger because that music fades into children singing.
Yes!
These children are singing All Creatures Great and Small. You start getting almost these like cult vibes as like these children all gather around and sing hymns while the toads screw.
Well, and then Glenn, in case we didn't catch on watching actual footage of this happening, he reenacts it with two toads. He's got them in his hands and he's like basically humping the lady toad with the male toad like it's a Barbie and Ken doll.
I mean, the senior curator of Amphibia and Birds probably has some time on his hands.
Oh, bless.
Well, we learn that one toad can lay 40,000 eggs.
In a single summer.
Yes. The theory in nature where these toads are from is that they need to do that just so that they can get a couple to survive. But that's not what happens in Australia.
I wonder what their natural predator was in Hawaii.
Yeah, they don't ever explain that.
Sharks.
We get some on the life cycle of the toad.
Tadpoles are super cute. Little baby toads are super cute. The super cuteness does not extend into adult toadness.
See, I think a handful of little tadpoles might be cute. But the problem is, like, with this footage, you see, like, what appears to be hundreds of them.
40,000.
Yeah, just like, it's like a tadpole swarm. There's something that becomes horrific when the number goes up.
I think that's fair, but I did acknowledge in caps twice, oh my God, so cute.
Oh. I didn't. Here's where we learn the problem with why these toads didn't work. One species of this grub that they're trying to fight doesn't live on the ground, so the toads can't reach them.
Right.
This feels like something you maybe could have figured out ahead of time.
Right? Like, what did they envision? These toads are gigantic. Did they think they could hop up and get the sugar grub?
Can you imagine the horror of thousands of toads routinely hopping to like the height of an average person?
That would be terrifying. What did they think? Were the grubs just going to come down to the ground and be like, hey, man, eat me?
Maybe they thought that the grubs would be on the ground enough. But then there's a second species of this grub, and they are not around when there isn't any ground cover. And when there isn't any ground cover, the cane toads don't want to be in the fields. So one of these people, it might have been Tom, says that the lifestyles between the grub and the toad don't synchronize.
Again, something they should have been able to figure out.
You would hope. They do figure out in 1945 that there's a pesticide that they can just use to get rid of the cane grub. But by then, it's far too late. The toads are everywhere. And we cut back to Tip, who talks about how...
This must have been a great country long before white man ever came to the joint. We brought in foxes and hares, and then to cap it all off, we bring this monstrous thing called a toad in.
And other white people.
Yeah. And speaking of that, we get a little story that's played over the radio where a man crouched by the side of the road. And so police found this guy and said that he was jumping into the path of oncoming cars. And when he was questioned, he told them he was Sir Joviaki Peterson and he was a cane toad.
In all ways except physical, he was a cane toad.
He was fined $50.
Oh, God. From this point, I want to say that this is Mark Lewis's homage to Psycho.
Absolutely.
So we get this kind of chubby guy taking a shower in his bathroom, and he's singing operatic music.
About the toads.
About toads.
Queensland toads, Queensland toads, they're everywhere you are. No matter where you roam, you can hear them from afar.
As he's washing up, he's left the windows to his bathroom open. And you get all these like sinister toads hopping toward the house and peering in the windows and then coming into the bathroom. And then he pulls back the curtain and there's toads everywhere.
It's hard to not have the psycho vibes when you're dealing with someone in the shower.
Right. But the Night of the Living Dead shouldn't be ignored either as I'm thinking about this.
Right. Before they get to the window, you kind of see this shot like it's the yard of the house. It's dark out. And you see these toads gathering in the yard, approaching the window.
Like they're sort of plotting. There's some sort of synchronization of their thoughts. And we got to get this guy who's in the shower. Not sure what they were going to do to him. But they were certainly going to scare the crap out of him.
I suppose the horror movie version of this is they just get angry and start squirting this venom everywhere.
But that scene just dramatically ends. Just like, crank. It's over.
We get like a clip of a guy who's calling in on a radio show talking about how when the toads were first released, he says that they were so big you couldn't lift them with a shovel.
That's terrifying. But some of these toads are really big, Dave.
Yeah, even in 1987 Australia, these toads still seem pretty stinking large. So if they're saying that they're like twice as big back in the 30s.
A hard pass.
I guess this is the section where we have kind of the biggest chunk of what I would call toad apologists. David Sondergaard, who is this old guy in a wife beater and very thick glasses.
And shorts and knee socks.
Yes. Says that he loves the animal and they give him a lot of enjoyment. And David attracts them using a light. And then he also feeds them Whiskats.
And also, occasionally, I feed them Whiskettes.
Which I think might be Dog food?
I think it's cat food.
Cat food.
I think it's like Whisker is where the...
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's like a specific brand of cat food, like Fancy Feast.
It was a little hard to parse at first with their accents, but L.V. Grieg also feeds them Whiskettes.
Well, I started feeding Cage Whiskettes because they started robbing the cat's dish of Whiskettes.
And L.V. likes the way they dart around at things and they hide and they peek out from behind stuff.
And we get footage of all of this.
This is creepy behavior, L.V.
Well, maybe she didn't see the slasher film.
These things are hiding from you, they're peeking out behind things, and they're darting at you.
And she doesn't mention that the music while this happens is ree, 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 ree.
We kind of cut back and forth between L.V. and David.
Are they married?
I really don't think either of these people are married. They have different last names, but even if they didn't...
Maybe this documentary is what leads these two to be introduced to one another.
Maybe. L.V. says,
I'm not sure whether I would call them pets exactly, but they're mates, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, pop down to the pub with your toad kind of mates.
Yes. And they're magnificent animals.
Yeah, David talks about how if you just watch them, you can see how they act under different circumstances, which again, based on what we've seen, the different circumstances are eating insects and screwing.
Toads living their best life.
Well, echoing David and Elvie's feelings about them, there's some talk that Queensland is going to erect a statue to commemorate the cane toad.
And my favorite part of this was that the folks setting this up said it was going to be a photographer's delight.
Yes. This was like really going to put Queensland on the map.
Right. It's going to bring tourists from all over the world.
It turns out that the city council ended up agreeing that maybe this is not what we want to do, but there are people who are very disappointed.
It feels like it's kind of like Georgia putting up a statue for kudzu.
Yeah.
Like, here's a thing that's destroyed our ecology. Let's revere it with a statue.
Let's honor the hubris of man.
There we go.
There's not much to this next story, but we really have to talk about it.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Brian Hawk is a binding conservator.
Very specific.
Yes. At the National Library. He has a very specific job. And someone at the Department of Defense asked him if he could bind a book for them and they could send it to Prince Charles and Lady Di for their wedding. So could we make this special wedding gift for the royals? And Brian had the brilliant idea to cover this book in cane toad skin, like some sort of amphibian Necronomicon.
I was going with Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs, but I like it.
Ew.
I think that this is the unexplored reason that Charles and Di broke up.
Well, they get a response.
And it's, oh my, you're going to have to put a clip in.
It's not the response I would have sent.
No. My guess is everyone who sent a gift got this response.
But they take this as like very earnest.
Yes.
So they read this letter.
We are both overwhelmed by your great kindness in thinking of sending us such a splendid wedding present. Thank you so much for taking all the trouble to find something which is so greatly appreciated and will bring so much pleasure to both us throughout our married life. Yours sincerely, Charles.
That is so obviously a form letter, because if you are given pleasure by a toadskin book, you have real problems, Your Highness.
There's no way that you receive a toadskin book for your wedding and not think that this is somehow revenge for something.
I would imagine that there was a moment where they thought, do we need to bomb Australia? Like, is this a threat?
Honestly, based on this documentary, the answer is yes. The next section is on cane toad poison. This poison is quite strong. And we meet Dr. Michael Archer. He's a zoology professor. And this guy hates cane toads.
With every fiber of his being.
He is resentful because he had a native cat that he was studying that was basically a pet that was killed by one of these big toads. He says that within 20 minutes of the cat running into this toad, this beautiful, unique animal I was totally in love with died in my arms.
Aren't you supposed to have like a scientific detachment? I don't know.
I feel like it makes a lot more sense to grow attached to something that's kind of like a cat.
Than a toad?
Than a giant toad that could kill you where you're standing.
Right, that's true. Bottom line, Michael's really pissed at toads.
Yes. We get another little flash of horror movie. We're getting this voiceover talking about like how toxic the toad venom is and all this stuff. And while that's being said, a young boy named Edgar is left outside by his mother. Mom goes inside to answer the phone. We hear talk about how like children will squeeze the toads and put them in their mouths as Edgar kind of starts to do this. And then the mom hangs up the phone and we don't really know if she got back in time or not because she just screams, "Edgar!" And that's the end of the scene.
And there was sort of like Jaws music playing as he was approaching the toad.
Yes. We also get a reenactment. It's 1959, and on a dirt road 3 miles east of Bingle Bay, an adult male toad is having amplexus with a dead female toad.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all reenacted as like this guy drives by and it looks like they really do have a toad screwing a dead toad.
Right. How did he get that? But that's not the most disturbing thing. The guy is watching it and sweating.
And then he kind of like shakes his head in bewilderment and disgust.
Yes. I actually wrote SMH. So the next segment is about cane toad eating habits. Apparently, cane toads eat like vacuums. I'm picturing Kirby just like opening their mouths and stuff just like comes in. And so they say they'll eat any living thing that will fit in its mouth, including birds. They'll eat ping pong balls, although they try to reenact that and the toad doesn't go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get some footage of a mouse climbing around on top of a toad.
And we're like, oh no.
I wrote, what the hell? With 5 question marks 3 times.
Yeah, you get to watch in very close, vivid detail.
Toad vision.
Yes, the last moments of this mouse's life.
Yes. The toad just opens his mouth and sucks that mouse right up. It's horrifying.
It's gross. I think somewhere at the very end, maybe, they say that this was part of a normal feeding somewhere. Mark wasn't like, give me one of the mice. Let's see what happens.
Right.
But he definitely could not have the no animals were harmed during the filming of this.
Absolutely not. Well, he couldn't have had that anyway, the way that kid was handling that toad.
No. Tip talks about how trying to eat a toad is basically like swallowing a cyanide pill. Toads will eat everything, but nothing can eat the toad and live.
So there's nothing. Mountain lion, wolf, none of those things at the top of the food chain can kill this thing.
Tip says that the toads pose as big a menace as the German army in World War II.
That is hyperbolic, I feel like.
The invasion is on, and I appeal to everybody to, wherever you see a toad, have no hesitation running over and killing the monster.
And Brent takes them up on that offer.
He sure does. Brent has a VW bus. And we see footage of him swerving all over the road.
Like he's going to blow a .3.
He says,
I know I've made a clean kill, particularly if the toad is actually facing towards the vehicle, because the air that's inside the toad is trapped within the head and blown out towards the back end, and the toad really goes off with a bang like a balloon going off.
And my thought was, these violent delights have violent ends.
I like that.
In Brent's defense, he says that he does this because he loves the native wildlife and the toads are completely destructive to that. So I sort of get that, but I also think like literally swerving dangerously across the road is probably not the best way to handle things.
Sounds like he's got a strong love for wildlife, but not for his fellow drivers.
Yes. Hard disagree with Brent is Elvy.
Anyone tried to hurt one of my toads, there'd be a lot of noise and they'd realize I wasn't a lady.
So I wasn't sure if she meant that she would be like cussing or shouting or something, that, you know, she's not ladylike, or if the noise was alluding to some sort of weaponry that she might use against a person. Like, is she going to shoot someone for harming her toad?
Like, she could do both.
That's true. You could cuss someone out and then shoot them. That is possible.
We kind of wrap things up by being told that the toad is an invasion machine. We get reminded that the toad, a single toad, can produce, you know, tens of thousands of eggs in a year. They can live for 16 years.
That is crazy. I had no idea.
8 toads can produce 120,000 eggs 2 or 3 times a year.
Ugh.
This is basically a biblical plague.
It is. And they have no predators.
No.
Like, pretty soon Australia is going to be only toads.
I feel like this is what sets Australia on the, like, Mad Max path.
Right. Well, maybe. Okay. This might be too soon. But, you know, all the fires that they had, I wonder if that eradicated some of the toads. Like, is there a silver lining?
I thought you were going to say, I wonder if the toads started it.
I like that even better. Because they're still mad about that 2 weeks without food that they got back in 1935.
The cane toads have to start doing some PR. Like, we didn't start the fire.
It was always burning.
All right. Archer says that what we're going to see is a classic human disaster of a single introduced species replacing many natural species. At the moment, we have no way of controlling the cane toad. And on that bleak note, we get played out with this very upbeat song called The Cane Toad Blues.
You're going to have to put a segment in here because we cannot do it justice.
Cane toad's coming, cane toad's coming, main roads are humming with the cane toad blues.
Oh, Dave. Mark Lewis's documentaries are always a treat.
This was a fun watch. It definitely is on the weirder side, but we're going down the path already. Jamie, what did you learn?
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
I learned that people are relentlessly stupid. How did this seem like a good idea? I just kept watching it thinking, how did you think this was going to end well?
What if England sent the prisoners away and then realized, oh crap, they're breeding? I would buy England then sending them toads. And then it makes sense when that guy sends the royals a toad book as like a, you know, fuck you.
Right. What I don't understand is how the toad book did not launch World War III. Because it feels a little bit akin to a threat.
You need to go to around like 19, 20 minutes into this documentary and just look at this book. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, it's so gross.
And you send this as a wedding present.
To the prince and his wife.
Wars have been started over far lighter offenses, I feel like.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm just shocked they didn't bomb Australia. Maybe they thought that the toads were punishment enough.
Unless they were the ones that, like, English spies at this Puerto Rico sugar conference were like, tell them about the toads.
Well, I don't know if you caught this, but they did like a voiceover. But it was a woman's voice.
Yes.
Could it have been Lady Diana?
Could it have been Elvy? A very young, attractive Elvy sneaks into this sugar convention and convinces her countrymen to bring this toad.
What did you learn, Dave?
I learned I can't live in Australia.
You used to mock me when I said I had no interest in visiting Australia.
There are areas in Australia that would be cool to visit, but when they show the footage of Brent swerving all over the road to hit these toads, the road is covered in these things.
Yes. That's why he's swerving. They litter the highway.
I couldn't handle this sort of past to this volume.
No. Well, it seems like everything in Australia is out to kill you.
Yeah.
Even the cute things, like kangaroos.
Koalas?
Are trying to kill you. Koalas, they have an agenda. We just don't know what it is yet.
I've heard that koalas are actually kind of cranky.
See? You think they're all cuddly, but...
I don't think they're, like, hopping into your yard, climbing up on your windowsill while you're showering, though.
No, nothing surpasses the toads, honestly. Crocodiles, nope. Tasmanian devils, nope. Dingoes, nope. So, did you learn anything else? Has this enriched your life?
I wish that there were more Mark Lewis documentaries that we could kind of sink our teeth into, but I think that this toad one and the chicken one seem like the quirkiest of the things that he's done, so I'm not sure if we can drum up more from Mark.
He has a remake of this.
What?
Yeah, he remade this movie, or created a sequel, although it sounds like it has the same basic elements, in 2010.
Okay, well, we may have to track that down and see what an extra 20 years has done for the cane toads. You do kind of wonder, because at the end of this, it's like, well, Australia's fucked.
They keep showing the map with the toad's range spreading. Have they managed to eradicate people?
Well, I think there are still Australian people.
But we've never been there.
Do you think that it's all toads wearing people costumes?
Yes. Yeah.
You know what this is turning into? This is turning into the reptilian people sort of thing, except it's the amphibian people.
Absolutely. That's where my mind went to.
There's like 8 toads in every single person operating them.
Crocodile Dundee is a bunch of toads in a trench coat with a hat.
Maybe a toad sequel is in our future.
What I hope is in our future are some positive reviews from you. Give us a review wherever you download your podcast, or send us a note on Twitter at SuperTrueStory or on Facebook at SuperTrueStories. You will find that we have a little bit of a community going of people who also love this podcast.
Yeah, it would be great to hear from you. And we should give a shout out to our friend Tomb Dragomir for the use of Mexicana Massacre off of his album Instrumental Psycho Synth. And a shout out to our podcast friends at 6 Foot Plus and The Projection Booth. And Jamie, I don't like toads. I'm not scared of them, but when they're the size of a child, I don't like them.
I don't think I'm quite as far as you in not liking them, but I'm not going to pick one up.
I don't enjoy killing things, so I wouldn't want to kill them either, but I would absolutely pay someone to make them go away. We're going to have to check out this sequel.
Clearly.
All right. Until next time, and I don't think next time will be a toad sequel, but you never know.
Never know.
I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt.
Bye-bye.
Bye.